Welcome to Update One, the podcast of the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. Update One provides a forum for listeners to learn about national stories focusing on news, politics, and current events. Now, the latest edition of Update One.
I'm Adam Cano, and joining me today to discuss developments in public relations, including the Museum of Public Relations in New York, is Shelley Spector. Shelley, who owns her own agency, founded the museum in 1997. It now resides at Baruch College, part of the City University of New York system, where Shelley serves as an adjunct professor of PR history. Shelley, thanks for joining me today on Update One.
Pleasure.
Before we talk about what's new in PR, can you tell me a little bit about the genesis behind starting the Museum of Public Relations?
Sure, Adam. I got to know Bernays in 1985. That's Edward Bernays, who's the father of public relations. And he was 94 at the time, living up in Cambridge. And we'd go up there about three times every year and videotape him because no other interviews existed of him. And it was very important for us to preserve that piece of history, as it was very important to preserve the documents, the letters, the photos that were all over his house talking about his career since 1915. And when he got a little older, let's say around 101, we started talking about what's going to happen with all this stuff in the house. And we were so afraid that it wouldn't be preserved that he came up with the idea to have a museum of public relations, and preserve and restore and display all of this stuff that was in his house. Of course, 800 boxes worth of things also went to the Library of Congress, but some of the most interesting things went to us, fortunately, after his death in 1995.
And at what point in the history of PR does the museum pick up? I mean, does it start with Edward Bernays, who's, you know, generally regarded as the father of modern public relations, or does it go farther back than that? And what are some of the highlights of the collection?
Okay. Adam, the museum takes a point of view that public relations has been going on ever since there were people, organizations who wanted to build better relationships with one another, so we can go back to the dawn of civilization. But we don't go back quite that far. We start with Aristotle and Plato, the development of rhetoric. We go into the Roman period of time. We talk about the Middle Ages and the Vatican and how they tried to propagate the Catholic religion around Europe and Asia. And we also go into the Revolutionary War and the writings of Thomas Paine and the anti-abolitionist movement, and then World War I. And so we're looking not just at the public relations profession, which Bernays started in the early 1900s, we're looking at the impact that public relations has had throughout history. So it's really a history museum, looking at it through, looking at history through the lens of public relations.
And not just history, but presumably communications formed by other fields in the humanities and social sciences, you know, such as psychology, sociology, anthropology.
Absolutely, Adam. What few people know outside of the public relations field is that Bernays's double uncle was Sigmund Freud. And so it had a tremendous impact on his development growing up and informed a lot of Bernays's own development of public relations theories in the early 1900s. So Bernays was also influenced by the social psychologists of the times, like Wilfred Trotter and Gustave Le Bon. He was additionally influenced by Walter Lippmann, who wrote a book called Public Opinion in 1922, and Bernays followed it up with his own book called Crystallizing Public Opinion, where he put Walter Lippmann's ideas to the test. And Bernays, when he developed the field, he called it a social science. It was not about communications, necessarily, although communications is one way to get there, but it was all about building relationships with the public. So that could be a company, that could be a government, that could be a trade organization, what have you, but it's all about building better public relationships.
You and I both teach public relations at the university level, and I often talk to my students, as I expect you do as well, about the evolution of PR from reactive, so, you know, what do we do when something goes wrong, to proactive, how do we think about what might go wrong and plan for it, to a world, thanks to social media and the internet at large, that is truly interactive. How does the museum embody this today?
Interesting question. Let's start with social media. My students think that the world didn't exist before the internet. They can't imagine how we did our jobs in public relations without email and Facebook and the rest. we show in the museum the multitude of communications channels that people used to use as far back as 150 years ago. So we have some artifacts that give them a sense of what communications existed and how they worked and how effective they were way before the internet. We have some telephones from the early 1900s and typewriter, a stereoscope. We have old radios. We have telegraphs. We need them to see the evolution of social media, that it just didn't happen and create a revolution in our profession. But all this was a gradual evolution of various technologies that built on one another over a period of time. Very important that they should look at, for instance, a wire report from 1969 and see the announcement of the lunar landing at the same day as the Chappaquiddick story broke. And it looks like, to them, a Twitter feed. And this is something that happened, you know, 40 years ago. So they've got to see that all of this is a continuum, and the world did not just start with the internet. Well, they can go through the history of modern civilization pretty much in our museum, and they can see the impact that public relations has had on many of these events, and that's very, very important for them. So they, getting back to your question, they can see how public relations was used reactively, very much proactively, by Bernays, Carl Bayer, Ivy Lee, very much proactively, and then interactively. But, of course, there was interactivity long before the internet. It was just a different kind of interactivity. A lot of it was word of mouth. A lot of it was just personal meetings or speeches. Social media really began in the Roman days, when public announcements would be posted up in the town square, and hundreds of people at a time were able to look at it. That's social media.
So presumably the museum is going to play a large role in the PR history courses that you teach.
My class is good. I'm going to be teaching my class in the museum itself. And for the 6 years that I've been teaching before this, before we had the museum set up at Baruch, I would always have my students down and look at the museum that we had set up in our office before we had it set up at Baruch. And they are just fascinated with all of the artifacts. They can hold a speech that Eleanor Roosevelt herself has edited. They can hold a press release that announced in 1966 the formation of the National Organization of Women. They could hold a light bulb that was given out as a souvenir in the 1929 Lights Golden Jubilee that honored the 50th anniversary of the light bulb in 1879. So they're holding history in their hands, and they're realizing the incredible impact that their own field of choice has made on the shaping of events throughout history. So it gives them a whole different perspective on the influence of our profession.
I'm just curious, on a personal level, what was the response that you got from Baruch College when you came to them as an adjunct professor and said, I have this little collection that you might be interested in?
Actually, it was, they had come to us. They heard about it. And we had always been looking for a good academic institution to place the museum, because the museum, it's chartered by the New York State Board of Regents, and it's also a nonprofit. And it was, you know, perfect timing that Baruch would come down as they're enlarging their corporate communications program and say this would be a terrific fit for the school. And now we're looking at ways for the museum itself to be integrated into various other curriculums outside of public relations. So history, poli-sci, journalism, business, information sciences, you name it, all of them one day will be using this museum.
I want to get back to social media in a minute and your presence there, but if somebody wanted to access the museum's archives for research or other purposes, how would they go about doing that?
Well, we have a lot of material up online. We have videotapes. We have biographical information on some of about the field's best-known pioneers. Check on prmuseum.org, and also sign up for the Facebook feed, and that has been up there for about 2.5 years. I post on there every day, and sometimes I post newsreels, sometimes I post the original writings of Thomas Paine, and lately I've been finding, and it's very hard work to find this, digital copies of the first books ever written about public relations. And you will never be able to have access to these books unless, of course, you came up to New York. Most people can't. And so I've been able to put these online over the past couple of weeks. and I'm going to be doing more and more of that. If anybody is ever in New York and you want to come up and see the museum, we're more than happy. Just go online to prmuseum.org. You'll see where the appointments button is, and you just fill out the form. We're more than happy to have you.
And for people farther afield, obviously the Facebook page is a great resource, and I'm guessing that page is probably getting traffic from all over the world.
It's amazing, Adam. When we first put it up, it was primarily people from the tri-state area up here in New York, then throughout America, and now the vast majority of the 4,100 followers that have signed up over the past couple of years, they are from countries, developing countries, that are first creating their public relations fields. And in the past few days alone, I've seen people coming on from Vietnam, from Malaysia, from Turkey, from Estonia. It's just amazing to me. All of these countries who are first being developed economically are now finding a reason to support a public relations field in their countries.
Lastly, can you think of an occasion when you came across something in the museum's collection that seemed just as relevant today as it was back in the days of people like Edward Bernays, who we started this conversation talking about, the founder of modern PR? You must have had those moments going through the collection and thinking, wow, that's almost spooky.
Yeah, when I look through the early works of Bernays and even Walter Lippmann, to some extent the sociologist LeBon and Trotter, what I see is the necessity to appeal to people's emotions. And we know that in public relations, the most effective way to appeal to groups of people, to influence their attitudes, to change their behavior, is through emotion. And you can take the philosophies that were written in crystallizing public opinion and in propaganda written in 1928 and apply them very much to what we're doing today. Whether we're doing it through radio, television, newspapers, newsreels, or through online media, it really doesn't make a difference. These are the best ways of looking at the public relations field and what it was meant to be and the best way to do it.
Shelley, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Adam. Pleasure.
Shelley Spector is a PR practitioner and lecturer, as well as founder of the Museum of Public Relations. You can learn more about the museum at prmuseum.org or on Facebook. I'm Adam Cano. Thanks again for listening to Update One.
You have been listening to Update One, a production of the National Press Club's Broadcast Committee. You can comment on this show or any episode of Update One by going to facebook.com/PressClubDC or on Twitter @PressClubDC. Thanks for listening to Update One.